In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to their episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on January 14th, 2016. This is the official podcast for Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow For Whom the Cowbell Tolls writer, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I'm just fine. Thanks for asking. I'm tired.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyways, show. We did have a show. On Tuesday because we recorded a show.
It was crap.
And it was 18 minutes of my just flat out being pissed off for really no apparent reason.
Well, and I said crap like Malik Weatherspoon, so...
You did say Malik Weatherspoon. I said that the year was 2015.
Yeah, it was not a good show.
And it was 18 minutes long.
There was no reason for us to keep that show.
So we just decided to delete it, and that show is no longer in existence. So yeah, we are here. It's a new day. It's a brand new day, fresh.
It's out 2016. Of the
box. It is 2016. Ethan, your birthday is coming up.
My birthday is coming up.
So is mine.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do something special on your birthday since we were going to be recording on your birthday.
Okay.
So you better do something special for me.
I'll figure something out.
Great. I'll get you like a back scratcher or something. a keychain. So yeah, we're not going to talk about Arkansas since that was a crap game. So we're going to talk about another loss. We lost to Kentucky. I don't even know what the final score was.
80-74.
Thank you, because I didn't watch the game. 80-74.
This game was actually a game.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, yeah.
It was fun to watch, especially the second half.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Well, there was a period of time where I thought I was going to change the channel, just to be completely
honest. That time when we were down by 20. Listen, if we were down by 20, I would have turned the TV off and never gone back into the room. The thing is, I didn't even step foot in the room because I thought we were going to lose by more than 20.
Yeah. I tweeted out at one point that, where is it? Here, when we were down 20, I tweeted out, suggestion, forfeit the rest of the season and save me the heartbreak of another bad year.
Welp. I think that tweet is the reason why we came back, to tell you the truth.
If I need to tweet that more often, I will. Just because I've seen so much bad basketball in person.
Yeah. This kid's first ever basketball season. This slightly older than I am person.
Whatever.
First basketball season of Mississippi State basketball season was the second year of Rick Ray.
Yeah.
Did you even pay attention to Mississippi State basketball before that?
Yeah, I did.
You paid attention to football.
I guess 2011, like the end of 2010 and a little bit of 2011 was when I really started watching for the games.
That wasn't a good year.
2012 was really when I bought in and
that was a depressing year.
Especially towards the end and losing in the NIT.
Don't talk to me about that year.
Because
we were like number, what were we, number 12 in the country at one point?
I remember watching the Kentucky game at Buffalo Wild Wings with a friend of mine who was a Kentucky graduate. Oh. And, you know, that was a fun game for a little while until it wasn't.
Yeah.
We were up at halftime or something like that, if I remember correctly.
Which year was this?
2012.
2012. So that would not have been the DeMarcus Cousins year.
No.
Don't remind me about that game. That was the first time I ever swore in front of my dad, and I got grounded for a week.
But back
fun
to
stories.
Back to this most recent game.
Basketball.
You know, the biggest takeaway that we can have from this Kentucky game, this loss, and, you know, you can look back to the loss against A&M, is that they were in it, and they came back in it because they weren't, you know, they were down 20. We both expected, like, 30-point blowouts.
Yeah, we did. I think we probably said that on the show that's no longer in existence.
And I tweeted out at one point, impressive run. Needless to say, that wasn't the 30-point blowout I expected.
Yeah.
I got accused of being an eternal pessimist. but it just, the fact that this team was able to fight back and not let it get away from them like they let the Arkansas get, you know, that game get away from them.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you hope for the rest of this season. If Craig Sword and Malik Newman can combine for 34 points in any given game, we have a chance to win more SEC games than not.
I just got this notification on my phone that I love. LSU's Ben Simmons gets the pass inside, turns, and throws down a huge two-handed dunk. Wait for it. Versus Ole Miss.
I'm scared of Ben Simmons.
We're not going to play well against them.
I feel bad for Gavin Ware for having to compete against that man.
Yeah, it's actually a good game. Ole Miss is winning 26-24, but that's irrelevant. Anyways, what you were talking about.
So, you know, like I said, Malik Newman and Craig Sword finally had a good game. They finally, at the same time, both played well. Combined for 34 points. Sword, just overall, he fouled out, which really sucked. Had 5 turnovers, but he shot 9 of 13 from the field. Didn't take any 3-pointers, which is great because he can't shoot anything. But his ability to drive, his ability to cut through the defense, he really did that in this game, and he did it to perfection for 20 points. Malik Newman shot 3 of 7 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3-point range. But hit all 6 of his free throws.
Mm-hmm.
And
Malik Newman hitting all six of his free throws is a bit stunning.
Yeah. And another stunning stat line is
3-pointers.
Fred Thomas.
Oh, never mind.
Fred Thomas didn't miss a shot, and he, you know, took 3 of them.
That was pretty stunning.
2 of 2 from 3-point range. He's finally coming together.
I still think that I didn't watch the game as I remind you, so I didn't see it, but shooting 46.2% from beyond the arc.
We only shot 13 3-pointers.
But still, we made a good portion of them.
Johnny Sabardo had, you know, he's made his share of free throws this season, or 3-pointers, this season.
Can't speak.
No. But there was a stretch where he took, like, 2 back-to-back, missed them both, mm-hmm. and then airballed another. So he was just off to, you know, not tonight, but a couple nights ago. If he makes at least one of those, you know, he'd take probably a couple more shots throughout the game. He only took 4 shots. And I think that air ball may have been his last shot. Weatherspoon had a decent game, couldn't hit anything from behind 3. But just all in all, you know, there aren't many games where you can feel happy about losing, and obviously I'm not happy about losing this game, especially the way we could have won it.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they fought back at the end, I'm not totally upset.
I'll say this. A 6-point loss to Kentucky in Rupp Arena, you're not totally upset. I'm happy about that. Anyways, you know, this gives me a lot of confidence on the season. Now, am I expecting us to go on some SEC winning streak tear? No, of course not. But it gives me some more confidence on maybe we can notch maybe a win or two that we weren't expected to get down the road. I'm not certainly promising it and ultimately putting my life on the line for it, but I think that it certainly could happen. It gives me a lot more confidence on the year, and confidence is a good thing. Yeah, it can be a bad thing, but right now I think it's a good thing.
I will say this. You know, I expected Alex Poitras, Marcus Lee, no relation, Scal, Scott Labissiere
from Memphis.
Yeah. And then Derek Willis. You know, all of Kentucky's big men to have phenomenal games.
Now, the thing is, you shouldn't expect that from Scott Labissiere knowing his season so far.
Okay. Still, teams that are bigger than Mississippi State tend to beat us and beat us badly.
Yeah.
And Gavin Ware held his own against them, played them well defensively. Marcus Lee fouled out, only had 2 points. Poitras had 4 fouls and 6 points. Willis was the best of them, he had 8 points. But, I mean, just seeing that they didn't have these phenomenal games means that Ware and Daniels and Sword really guarded them fairly well.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
Which is good to see and gives me hope for games like against Tennessee, going forward against Alabama. These teams that size-wise aren't much bigger than State, and Tennessee's not. Auburn, you know, I'm feeling good against them now.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing about Auburn that I've sort of noticed, they're sort of a back-and-forth roller coaster team in that they can show up in some games and just fall flat on their face in others.
Yeah.
Hopefully the latter can happen against us whenever we play them. But just a random thought.
Yeah. So what do you expect with this Tennessee game coming up? Let's just go ahead and preview that. I mean,
we've got an interview. Woo.
We want to play that now?
Yes. Charlie Burris joined us. For those who don't know Charlie, he was the former editor, manager person, runner guy of the website we currently do the podcast for whom the cowbell tolls. And he did fun stuff. We are a part of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls because of him. And also, this podcast wouldn't exist if it weren't for Charlie Burris, so... That's exciting. Let's air that interview. He now does stuff for Tennessee because he lives in Knoxville, and he went to Tennessee, and he does stuff. So here he is. Now joining us and For Whom the Podcast Tolls is our friend and fellow person, former For Whom the Cowbell Tolls manager and current, I don't know your exact title of whatever you do. But it's Charlie Burris, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
Thank you. Please be seated. I don't know my own title either, frankly. I pretty much run the website at Fox Sports Knoxville. That's about the long and the short of it.
And you do a podcast.
That too. The Southeasterner podcast, which is a podcast about SEC sports. Yes, and these boys will be on it at some point. In the future.
Yes, we will. We should be, at least.
And we will discuss the merits of Jimmy Buffett music at that point.
I mean, he's the greatest musician to ever
That's
live.
For you two to discuss, because I have no side in the argument. I'm just going to be an innocent bystander as you two murder each other about Jimmy Buffett music.
The greatest musician of all time wrote a song called Let's Get Drunk and Screw.
To his credit, he has the most lucrative song of all time in Margaritaville.
No, that is true. I'll give him that. But anyway, we have sports to discuss, and we can flesh that out on my podcast.
Yeah, Mississippi State and Tennessee play basketball on Saturday. 2:30 p.m. Central Time, 3:30 Knoxville time in Starkville. As once again I said on Saturday. Ethan knows I can't speak in a majority of these shows. I'm just going to delete that one word. Say that these are two mediocre at best teams playing each other?
Yeah, pretty much, and I think they both have similar problems, which is just a complete lack of size. They think they both have a couple of players that are good. You know, State has Sword, Malik Newman, and then Tennessee has Kevin Punter and Armani Moore, and then past that, it's just kind of barren. So they're both having pretty rough seasons, although State gave Kentucky a run, had a lead late in that game, surprisingly, in Rupp Arena.
I don't know how that happened.
That was an amazing second half.
Yeah, they just really went off there, and I just saw the highlights. I didn't get to sit down and watch that game. I had some stuff going on, but I was happy to see that and then sad. I saw the score and was like, oh my gosh, State is going to do this, and then they let it slip away right then, just like Tennessee did against Texas A&M on Saturday.
Hey, that one. We have the same feelings when it comes to Texas A&M.
I did watch that Mississippi State game. That was rough. Kind of similar stuff. Texas A&M kind of stole two games from State and Tennessee.
And they barely beat Florida, too. So they're sort of just barely squeaking by the time SEC play rolls around with old Rick Stansberry over there.
It's all about the wins, though. And I'll say, I don't think it is a coincidence that they have gotten so much better that now that Rick Stansberry is on that staff, but that's just me, and especially their recruiting.
It's not just you.
If that man does anything well, and he may not be, Lord knows he's not Lily White, but he recruits well, even if it is a little underhanded in some of the things that he does.
How does he not have a head coaching job yet?
It's crazy to me. I have to assume he would after this year.
Definitely after this year.
I almost thought that State would bring him back. Unfortunately, they didn't. But, well, and Scott Van Hallen, not like that was a bad move.
Yeah.
But
I think it was probably fortunately for us, knowing the last two, three years of the Rick Stansberry era. But if you compare him to Rick Ray, he is John Wooden, I guess, minus the national championships.
Yeah. Are State fans, how messed up are State fans right now that Ben Hallen didn't come in and win instantly?
I think at the beginning, at least for me, it was a mixture of disappointment and slight anger. But now
I was definitely angry.
But as the season went on and I looked at just how little depth we have and how we had 4 out of 5 starters, woo, but they were on teams that have won, I don't know the exact number, 30-something games, a little, maybe 40, 30, late up higher 30s in the last 3 years. They don't know how to win. At this point, I'm just hopeful by year two or year three is when we'll start seeing success.
Yeah, let Hallen get some kids in there, and I think they'll be fine in time. It's crazy. I mean, State has a real basketball tradition. They really do. I mean, Stansberry won 2 SEC championships while he was there. Like, I think they'll get back, and everybody will be happy. You just got to get the hump back to where it was, because it's so sad to see. That used to be a tough place to play. A tough place to play.
Joakim Noah called it the toughest environment he's ever played in.
You're not the first Mississippi State fan to tell me that. But, yeah, and it really was. I remember Tennessee played Mississippi State in the SEC championship game the last time Tennessee played in that. And credit to them. They won. They beat Bruce Pearl.
I was there. 9-year-old Daniel Black was there. Bruce Pearl was wearing an orange suit.
Of course. Yeah. That was the...
That's amazing. I'm going to go look up pictures of his orange suit.
Yeah, his signature move in big games was the orange.
So will he start wearing orange, like orange and blue, navy blue suits now? Has he done that?
See, I wonder. He took some of his stuff to Auburn, like he did outlive at Tennessee, and the... OUT, the UT was like the Tennessee UT and Outlive, and it's a cancer charity that he has. And then he took it to Auburn, and then it's Outlive, except it's AUT Live. So like he took that, maybe, yeah, like out.
That's not outlive. Great. That's not great.
But maybe he'll wear that slightly darker orange blazer. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that yet.
So let's talk a little bit about this game, if we can.
If we have.
What is the biggest key for Tennessee to win this game? Which player has to have his best game? What would be the biggest key in your eyes for Tennessee to win?
Right off the top, they have to make shots. That's what killed them in every single game. That is what's killing them as I'm watching them play Georgia as we're speaking, and it is why they are behind. But past that, Kevin Punter and Armani Moore consistently have great games. They're always in double digits, and they're the team leaders. They have to get somebody else besides them scoring the basketball. And if they can do that, you know, against Texas A&M, they had them and, you know, had an 11-point lead with, I think, 4 minutes left and just kind of let it slip right at the end. But, like, against Florida, they got everybody working in that game and beat Florida by 20. So when it works, it really, really works, and they make 14 three-pointers in a game and can win like that. But if just Kevin Punter is having a good game, it's pretty tough. And I would say they also play awful on the road, and they have to overcome that. They've just been terrible. They haven't won a road game yet, and their only loss at home was to Texas A&M. So playing better on the road and getting somebody other than those integral guys scoring the ball would be huge.
We can relate to the playing badly on the road thing.
See, but we also play badly at home, too.
We just play badly.
Y'all ended up signing Ray Kasongo, a guy that we were recruiting heavily.
Oh, yeah.
And he hasn't really panned out to be much. What are your impressions of him so far?
In terms of what he could be physically, like, it's all there. I think he could be a really nice four for Tennessee. The main thing is, at this point, Tennessee needs a big man that they can rely on, and they cannot rely on Ray Kasongo. I mean, he's just not that guy yet. He may never be that guy. And so I think it's just that. They can't utilize him in the way that he needs to be. He needs a reliable big man to play beside. Yeah. And he just can't flourish because he's not good enough to do that. I'll put it that way. It's the insufficiency of everything around him that is dragging him down more than anything, I would say. He's a fine player, and he gives Tennessee height that they don't have, you know, in terms of grabbing boards and things like that. But yeah, I will say, I think he would have very similar problems at Mississippi State, so you're probably not missing a whole lot.
Question for me. I'm Daniel, by the way, since everyone's asked two questions. You didn't mention one player that really hasn't performed to the level in the last two games against Arkansas and Kentucky that he has been throughout the season, but that's Gavin Ware, who's really throughout the entire season, I'm not going to say carried the team on his back.
He's carried the team on his back.
He's carried the team on his back. And is there a certain – do you think that there is a certain player – for Tennessee, or just any player in general for Tennessee that can compare to Gavin Ware? And do you think that certain player could ultimately, I guess, for lack of a better term, beat out Gavin Ware down low?
Tennessee does not have a dominant guy down low, but I'll say the freshman, Admiral Schofield, he is a true freshman, and he has been playing.
His name is Admiral?
Admiral Schofield, I kid you not.
That's amazing.
He should be playing for Navy. He, true freshman, and I watched him in summer league and went to the summer league games for Tennessee, and he did almost nothing. Like, he just wasn't that impressive. He made a half-court shot in the summer league, and that was all that I...
That's not bad.
I mean, that's something. But then in these last few games, he just doesn't even look like a freshman. He was dominant against Texas A&M, who has really nice down low players. Like, Daniel House is a great player, and he just really went right up against him and played up and had something close to 20 points in that game, and has just been this kind of breakout player. He's just a three-star recruit and really under the radar. Credit to Rick Barnes on grabbing him sort of out of nowhere. And so he's been a surprise, and I think he will, more than anybody, will be able to go up against Gavin Ware. They also have Derek Reese down low, but he is shoddy at best. Sometimes he is a great player, and most of the time he is a liability. So past Admiral Schofield, Tennessee just doesn't have much down low to match up.
All right. By the way, this has nothing to do with this game, but Clemson just beat Duke.
I did. I just saw that. I watched them.
That's amazing.
And beat them by like 5.
5 points, 68-63. Oh. So maybe that Clemson win for South Carolina ain't looking too bad, huh?
Yeah.
Ethan, you want to talk about, if you have nothing left for basketball, you want to talk about some football thing that Charlie did because you disagree with it. So unless you have more basketball stuff to talk about, you can dive into that if you'd like.
Yeah. Charlie, you tend to write pretty great stuff. I'm just going to put that out there.
Well, thank you very much. That is, I enjoy when people tell me things like that.
But I will say that putting Mississippi State number 5 on your anti-power rankings, which for those that don't know, the anti-power rankings 1 through 14 of the SEC, 1 is the worst team, 14 is the best team. And Mississippi State comes out at 5 on the, you know, preseason way too early stuff. And I just wanted to get an understanding of why State falls behind A&M, Arkansas, Auburn, which all three of those teams kind of look to be messes next year, especially offensively. So I'm just trying to, besides losing Dak, what is the biggest key missing for Mississippi State to not be higher on this list?
Well, it's tough to put those teams in any kind of a definitive order. And if the history of Mississippi State, the recent history with Dan Mullen, you know, holds true, they won't finish last in the SEC West. And at number 5, I'll say that means they finish last in the SEC West. The final 4 teams that are the worst teams in the SEC for me are all in the East, because the East is going to just suck next year. But State, it's just losing Dak Prescott is so huge. And you can't even understate that. He was probably the best quarterback in the SEC with, I'm sorry, but I mean, Chad Kelly. That it is what it is. But past that, you do get almost all your defense back except for Chris Jones. Chris Jones is going to the NFL, and you don't know who the DC is going to be. Hopefully it's somebody like Ed Orgeron.
Well, we
hired someone.
Oh, really? Who was it?
Peter Sermon, who is the former linebackers coach and recruiting coordinator at Southern Cal.
Is he related to who's the other coach? Sermon. I don't know. I couldn't even come up with a name. There's another coach that is a Sermon. Interesting. That's an interesting hire. I didn't know that. I didn't see that. So that's
a former Titans linebacker, I think, too.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I mean, that's a complete unknown. I have no idea.
But there was no official release, but he's changed his Twitter account, and that sort of makes it official.
I mean, his wife tweeted out Hail State, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he is probably coming. Interesting. That, I mean, State really has the prowess to get. I don't know why someone wouldn't want to come.
The thing is, he wasn't a defensive coordinator. He was a linebacker coach.
Yeah, it seems like State would have the pull to get a defensive coordinator from somewhere. Like, I don't know if they're as much of a pull as Tennessee, but at least close, I mean, in the SEC West. But nonetheless, that's a complete unknown, even though most of the talent is back on the defense. But that offense, I'll say, Nick Fitzgerald is shaped exactly like Tim Tebow. He may be Tim Tebow 2.0. I have no idea.
I actually looked that up. Tebow was 6'3", 236. Fitzgerald is 6'5", 225, and has a lankier build. So I'd say he'd be more of an Alex Smith type quarterback than Tebow, just for what it's worth.
A quick note about the Peter Sermon thing. Jeff Collins was the linebackers coach at UCF when he was hired at Mississippi State.
Wow. I mean, Jeff Collins, that's turned out to be a nice hire, even though he can't control his players at Florida. But still, it's really just that unknown. But yeah, Arkansas is losing everybody, and Auburn isn't losing everybody, but like they weren't good to start with. So, and past that, they are losing a few good players. It's just hard to, you know, for any of those, I guess. The Auburn game is in Starkville, and the Arkansas game's in Starkville also.
And is the Texas A&M game.
Oh, yeah, if that's true. Well, You know, who knows? It's the ranking that I made literally the day after the national championship game. So it's all just a toss up. And that's really my take on it. My whole concern next season is essentially this is the best Tennessee football team in more than a decade, probably. And yeah, the worst the SEC East has been in about a decade. And if they do not win the SEC East, I'm going to gouge my eyes out with a spoon. I mean, I don't even know. That's all I really care about.
That's all you're caring about right now?
Yeah, it's just so absurd. And I just can't even have any kind of a hope because of what's happened in the recent past. But that's about the long and the short of it.
I mean, I have one last question. I don't know if Daniel has anything else.
I don't.
Did you get your blooming onion? Blooming onion, whatever it's called.
Blooming.
I myself did not get the blooming onion because in Knoxville, and this might be almost exclusive to Knoxville, I don't really know, even though it was nationwide free blooming onion, but the wait, I was told, was 3 hours at my closest Outback Steakhouse.
When I went to the Outback Steakhouse, there are plenty of Outback Steakhouses in Memphis, but there is one in Germantown, which is where I live, and it's a suburb of Memphis.
Yep.
And the wait was an hour and a half.
Whew.
Tennessee fans need their bloomin' onions.
Yeah, we were taking pride in it, that's for sure. But with every press pass that I get to Tennessee games, I get a free Bloomin' Onion at Texas Roadhouse. So I'm going to go take advantage of that at some point, probably like in the next week. So in a way, yes, but not at Outback Steakhouse.
The Texas Roadhouse Bowl. Mountain West versus the AAC.
I would watch that. I'd watch UConn versus Nevada.
Yeah. That'd be a fun game.
The Texas Roadhouse Bowl is just
a fun game.
It's just going to replace the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. It'll be Mountain West versus Mountain West again, accidentally, just completely on accident.
To the credit of that game, I enjoyed that game and the actual like online broadcast. If you watched it, it was actually pretty refreshing to watch that compared to ESPN and their just sort of like regurgitated like wooden performance that they have during football games.
Yeah.
Because it was just like their halftime show is just like two dudes sitting in front of a plasma screen TV just being like, yeah, we're sitting here watching football. What's up, guys? Like, I don't know.
That's original, I guess.
It, like I said, it was refreshing. Was it high quality? That's questionable, but you know, it's kind of like Clay Travis, like, his stuff's not even in HD, but he's just sitting there ranting in front of a camera, and it's entertaining. Like,
Clay
I don't need
Travis references. No, there we go.
I get. Well, I mean, there is nobody. Sports,
so that is your employer. Hello.
So, Charlie, knowing, as you said, about Tennessee's football season coming up, knowing that UT is sort of tied for second for my favorite team, I hope you do not gouge your eyes out with a spoon. I hope your eyes are still in your sockets by the time the season ends.
As do I. I shouldn't, as a media member, I shouldn't care that much, but I am still a Tennessee graduate and someone who was raised in Knoxville, Tennessee. I just can't help myself. And so hopefully I will have my eyes by the end of this next football season.
Indeed. So, Charlie, we very much appreciate your coming on the show. We enjoyed it very much. We better be on your show soon, and we hope you can come on ours again soon.
I will make it happen. Thanks, boys.
Thank you.
That was fun.
Definitely. I mean, I'm going to say that that's our best interview yet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
There we go.
Predictions for the Tennessee game.
All right, quick notes about Tennessee. I had stats up, and now I lost them.
They're not a great team.
They're not a great team. Let's see their schedule. They are currently 8-8 on the year. They have losses to Georgia Tech, George Washington. They lost to the first president of the United States. I didn't know that. I thought that George Washington was dead, but apparently zombie George Washington beat them 1-5. That's really impressive. They also lost to Nebraska, lost to Butler. Only lost to Butler by 8. Eight. Lost to Gonzaga. Only lost to them by 7. Lost to Auburn. Lost to Georgia. And Texas A&M. And they have wins over Alabama. Huntsville, UNC Asheville, Marshall, Gardner-Webb, Army, Florida Atlantic, East Tennessee State, Tennessee State. They have wins over the East and the regular Tennessee states. And then
Florida.
Dominating Florida.
Is that Florida win their best win?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I don't know. That's the dumbest question I've heard ever from you, Ethan. Is the sky blue?
The fact that they lost to Auburn kind of gives me some hope. They lost to Georgia. Georgia Tech beat them by 2 points.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how good Georgia Tech is. They're normally not spectacular.
They're not spectacular, but they're still ACC, and ACC will always be better than SEC in basketball.
Yeah.
Losing to Butler the way they did, that I would say roughly equivalent to the Kentucky game, given Kentucky this year.
Yeah.
Is not what they were last year or the year before. The teams are fairly evenly matched. As Charlie mentioned it, size-wise, roughly built the same with a bunch of guards that can play, and then, you know, nobody down low. Ray Kasongo hasn't panned out to be much, and Charlie mentioned that Kasongo would be better playing alongside a dominant big man, and it's a shame that he didn't come to Starkville, in my opinion, because he could probably be playing better.
Mm-hmm. I will say this about Georgia Tech, just a quick tangent. Their head coach is named Brian Gregory, and I don't know how he still has a job.
What's their record?
What's his record? Well, right now they're 11-5, which isn't bad.
Oh, no, that's pretty good.
But in his first 4 years, and usually 4 years, he gets a coach fired.
Oh, yeah, Rick Ray didn't make it the 4.
11-20, 16-15, 16-17, and last year, 12-19. They haven't finished higher than 9th in the ACC. I don't know how he still has a job.
He would not have survived.
I don't know how he still has a job.
Because outside of his first year, those are all roughly equivalent to...
No, not his second, not last year.
What did you say last year was?
12-19.
Isn't that roughly equal to Rick Ray's?
Well, that's very true.
I was just comparing him to Rick Ray and their resumes.
Yeah.
They're roughly the same.
Georgia Tech lost to East Tennessee State, Villanova, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pitt. So they don't have bad losses. Except for East Tennessee State.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to this.
So let's do two stat line comparisons or stat line predictions and then a score prediction.
Oh boy, stat line predictions. I hope I get this right.
Gavin Ware.
Okay, I'm going to pull up Tennessee stats really quickly. I'm going to cheat.
Okay, I don't care.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see how many points in the paint they give up. Excuse me. If I can find it.
Should I just go ahead and give my predictions?
Yeah.
I think he gets 22 points.
All right.
11 rebounds.
Ooh, double-double.
Let's just stick with their points and rebounds for him.
Okay. I'll say around, 16 points, 8 rebounds.
And then... let's do who else? IJ Reddy.
I don't even know how he did in the Kentucky game. How did he do?
He had 7 points.
Yeah,
not bad. That's about
spectacular. I'll say about 9 points.
I think he's still leading the team with steals and assists, though.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robin Hood ready?
What?
Steal from the rich, give to the poor. You know, steals, assists, Robin Hood. No? Okay.
Delete your account.
Thank you. Yeah, probably 9 points. Seems right.
That's exactly
eight,
what I said.
8 to 9 points.
Should you say 6 assists and 9 rebounds? Nice. Or 6 assists and 9 points? Nice.
Okay.
Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, delete your account.
That wasn't a pun.
Let's go with.
But that wasn't a pun. Assists. That was a reference to 69, which is something.
Score prediction.
Okay, Tennessee. On the year, they're giving up 76 points per game.
Isn't that what we're scoring per game?
Yeah, kinda. Something like that.
Yeah. They're scoring 80.1 points per game.
I have 79.6.
Where are you looking?
Tennessee's website.
I'm looking at ESPN, well, which might be including
ESPN.
This might be including their game tonight.
Yeah, this could be including their game tonight as well.
I don't know.
We don't know exactly.
Either way. Around 80 points per game.
Yeah, they are giving up a 42.3. Yeah, this is going to be a high-scoring game. Not a lot of defense being played in this one because they are giving up a field goal percentage of 44%. So a lot of points. I'm going to say the Mississippi State pulls it out. 88-84.
See, I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring than that.
Okay.
Probably 78 us MSU to like 71.
78-71?
Yeah, just because State's defense, especially in the second half against Kentucky, if they can play like, well, I mean, if they can play like they did in the second half against Kentucky, we're going to win more games than we're going to lose. But they just, to be able to slow down Kentucky and go on the run that they did, mm-hmm. required not only the offense to play well, but the defense to play well as well. Whatever. So, you know, I'm feeling a little bit more confident about the defense, and granted, 71 points allowed, still not great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, enough for this team to win more games than lose.
Okay. So that will do it for our basketball talk, and guess what?
We have a defensive coordinator. Breaking news.
Breaking news! Mississippi State has hired a new defensive coordinator, ladies and gentlemen. Peter Sermon.
Yeah.
Linebackers coach and recruiting coordinator for the
former
USC,
NFL player.
Former NFL player for my kind of beloved Tennessee Titans. Yeah, he is at Mississippi State now. One thing, I'm going to pull up. You just breathed into the mic and it sounded like a tornado going off.
My mic is nowhere near me and I just took a sip of hot chocolate.
Well, your hot chocolate did it.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to look up just the recruiting rankings for the past couple of years.
Don't do it. He's only been on their staff for 1 year.
Last year and this year. Currently, I mean, USC is 16th in the country right now in recruiting. Let's go back last year. And in 2015, USC finished second in the country in recruiting. This man was the recruiting coordinator for these last two recruiting classes. Knowing that we haven't really been able to recruit all that well, this is big in terms of recruiting. Okay, well, what?
I mean, we both know Mullen gets
here we go.
The three-star guys.
Yeah, you better believe it. They develops and stuff, but you know what?
Yeah, no, I am all for this hire for recruiting purposes.
Yeah, for recruiting purposes. Other than that, I don't know much about them.
I mean, I'm working on a piece right now. Just go ahead and give a shameless plug that should get up tomorrow, maybe. Going over defensive stats for USC and their defense really wasn't all that great, given, you know, well, they are Pac-12, but still, just not a lot going on for their defense. Their linebackers played well. Their leading tacklers were their linebackers, and that's the unit that this guy coached. Mm-hmm. Granted, he didn't call the entire defense. Like, he didn't do all the play calling there.
Yeah.
But except still.
He did call the plays in the Holiday Bowl. In the Holiday Bowl. Oh! Yeah.
They played fairly well there.
They lost.
They held, Wisconsin? To 23 points?
Not bad.
No. Dan Mullen obviously thinks this is the right guy. Mm-hmm. Mullen has made decent hires at defensive coordinator before.
Yeah.
This is what, his seventh?
Let's think. There was Carl Torbush, Manny Diaz, Chris Wilson.
Wilson was the wrong hire. Fifth. Wilson was a bad hire.
Ooh, yeah. It's his fifth.
Okay. So, he's had to do this before. I feel like this is a guy that if Mullen is staying around for more than a year or two, he's going to stay around as well. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like this guy's just going to go up and leave for greener pastures. Because he's leaving USC.
Yeah.
And
if you compare that to past defensive coordinator hires.
Jeff Collins.
Really the only guy that he got. I don't know what Carl Torbush was doing before that. But, I mean, Carl Torbush was a big name in coaching.
What was Manny Diaz doing before 2010?
He was the defensive coordinator at Middle Tennessee State.
Okay.
So, Carl Torbush, before coming to Mississippi State, he was the linebackers coach at whatever Carson Newman is. But before that, he was at Texas A&M and Alabama's defensive coordinator, head coach in North Carolina, defensive coordinator in North Carolina, defensive coordinator at Ole Miss throughout his entire coaching career. So, really, Carl Torbush and Manny Diaz 2.0 were the only two, I guess, truly veteran coaches that Dan Mullen's ever hired at the defensive coordinator position. But other
no, we've seen him promote from within with Wilson and Collins.
Yeah.
So you can't really compare this hire to any of the other hires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, you said that he's from USC and Manny Diaz is from Middle Tennessee State and Jeff Collins was actually FIU as defensive coordinator. I got that wrong in the interview.
Okay.
But still, it's FIU, Florida International.
Yeah.
Was Chris Wilson at Mississippi State when he was hired as defensive coordinator?
I thought so.
He was. And then he went off to Georgia. Special teams coordinator at Oklahoma.
No, I was wrong.
Well, that was a weird hire. Special teams coordinator?
Yeah.
/ defensive ends. Okay. But still.
I don't really know what to make of this hire.
I mean, I don't know anything about him. I've never heard of him in my life.
So. Yeah, that's why I'm working on the piece I'm working on.
Yeah.
But.
Your one-stop shop for knowledge, Ethan Lee.
No. I agree. It feels like Mullen is really making a push at recruiting right now.
Uh-huh.
Hiring Terrell Buckley, hiring this guy right here.
Peter Sermon's his name.
Yeah. It feels like those are recruiting moves more than proven coordinator moves.
Mm-hmm.
Which you could argue that maybe he's finally given up the, well, let's develop guys because that takes too long.
Yeah.
You can't continue to do that here at Mississippi State, otherwise it'll get you fired.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's losing the teams with more talent. That's simply the teams that he loses to are the ones that are just more talented.
Indeed.
Even if they're not necessarily better teams. Like, look at the A&M loss. That's just a case of they had more talent.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, maybe you could say this is a good hire from that angle.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what to make of it, really. Besides, the recruiting should hopefully improve.
And Sermon is not. I keep about to say Simon. But anyways, Sermon.
Well, it's S-I-R-M-O-N.
It's close. Yeah. He's not expected to be a recruiting coordinator. That is expected to go to new safeties coach Terrell Buckley. which we didn't talk about before.
Giving it to a Super Bowl champion, that
yeah, we've got
not too much there.
We've got three former NFL players on our coaching staff. So,
to me, this just really feels like a move that could pay off long term if Mullen is around for three more years.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if he'll be around. So yeah, I you know, will he be around long enough for these hires to really pay off? Has Strickland already told him, hey, you're going to be around for another 2 years at least. You're fine. Don't worry about being fired. I don't know. Because these feel like moves that could pay off more long-term than one recruiting cycle. You know? Yeah. Especially with signing day being a handful of days away.
Certainly. So, yeah, unless you have anything else to talk about, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode of the Podcast Tolls. Do you have any final thoughts?
No. Do you?
No.
Dang it.
Final thoughts? Let's see. I'm just going to check the Ole Miss LSU score here.
Okay.
See what's going on.
This has been one of our better shows in a while. You know?
See, Temple and Memphis are tied 63. That's a good one.
Cool.
Ole Miss is beating LSU 43-40 at halftime. Let's check it
guess
on.
Who,
okay, what?
The South Carolina-Alabama game. Go check that score.
Alabama is murdering South Carolina. Undefeated South Carolina.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, never mind. Let's check in on Rick Ray.
No.
Jacksonville State is currently beating Southeast Missouri State 50-32. So Rick Ray is going to be headed down to 2-14 as head basketball coach at Southeast Missouri State.
Oh man,
final
I feel
thoughts,
bad for him.
He's a bad coach.
I think he's just broken. I think we broke him. I think Marshall Henderson and Andy Kennedy broke Rick Ray.
You mentioned Marshall Henderson, so I'm going to end the show now. Bye.